suffice it to say, I think we'll all be happier come Monday afternoon.
Well, we'll leave it at that.
I'd like that.
We don't want to have to clip your wings again.
I don't think you want to clip my wings. They're made of brass.
Amongst other things.
I couldn't grow my own, so I took brass instead. I want you people to know, and you, Anton, that it's wonderful being able to talk with you.
I wish we could say that's mutual.
Okay.
I'm going to have to put duct tape over her mouth.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
I'm going to have to put duct tape over her mouth to keep her from talking, except when I need to talk.
Good luck, Anton.
Yeah, well, you are married to Ray Ellen.
Don't you realize that? I have a wife that calls at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, simply because she's paying me back for all the times I've awakened her at 5 o'clock her time. And I love it. I love it, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Well, we're pleased, son.
Well, I'm pleased, too. Now I'm joining my meal, Miss Bob. I go on record stating that, because if I don't go on record stating that, I'm in big trouble.
Anyone want to ask him anything before we let him go? He is still in St. Louis. How is your general health?
I think I'm recovering slowly but surely. Please give me time.
Not ready for the 4-minute mile yet?
No, I'm not sure I could do a 13-minute stress test.
Well, he doesn't have to, so...
Wifey is taking good care of me, and she'll be back tomorrow afternoon.
That's good news.
Well, we'll spread the word.
Please do, and know that we will accomplish our goals together.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
You guys take care. Godspeed. Have our love. All of you.
Thank you.
Be good. For Raylan, for myself. Bye-bye.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Everybody wants to share, you see. It's very, very difficult when you feel a family. And the tendency is always to overstep because of the comfort and the knowledge that you are family. This is an interesting person. A most interesting type of incarceration. What you have to understand is the political arena, which, of course, has no understanding to it whatsoever. And yet you have to, and be willing to play within that arena and not get trapped in it. What is really difficult is for ones of you who come into a close knowingness with God, still have the big barrier. It is like a brick wall. How can we get past this brick wall of flowing robes, a pious demeanor, and a do-nothing? You cannot even equate in your mind what you do. You sit on your knees and you pray. And what is the general thing prayed for? Let me serve, let me do thy will. And then I expect it to be this way, this way, this way, and this way. God can be standing there offering you the cherry, the plum, and you turn away. God wouldn't do that. Then why did you ask for it in the first place? Because if God would hand you a serpent when you ask for a loaf of bread. You're dealing with the adversary, aren't you? And so what does the adversary do? He trains you. He trains you to think that God would not delve into things as worldly and as physical as your way and your journey. How are you going to make the journey for God if you have no wherewithal with which to function? You see, one thing that Mr. Bright has a lot of trouble with is the fact that at some level he knows exactly who I am. And he is pushing to see how far I'll go. Because he knows he has it coming. On the other hand, there's a great deal that he can still offer this nation. And his enemies can pull him down. I mean, really pull him down. Because he's never been out of the business. You don't just walk up to a drug lord's door like Kunsa, the way he said it. Neither do you get to the point where he achieved in that arena and know nothing. He knew exactly what was going on. He is one of the most trained of the elite assassins. He wants to call me a liar because I didn't tattle on him. What he does with his life is his business. The part he plays with his nation becomes my business. What I believe ones are going to come into realization very soon now is it doesn't matter what he thinks. I respect my enemies. This man is not my enemy. As a matter of fact, this is one of my closest friends. And you haven't heard the last of him. But you haven't heard the last of me either. But more and more focus will be diverted so that you can get some other things done. I can get some other things done. You see, what you perceive, because we have to bring truth, is that we also have to turn everything around. No, you don't. And if it doesn't begin to pick up pretty soon, you won't. No matter what you think is going to happen, it's not going to be that way. But there is now a collateral conspiracy. You certainly didn't think you could get by with one big conspiracy. You have conspirators against conspirators against conspirators. on what appears to be your enemy at this point is very likely not. So during the political upheavals, you're just going to have to wade through it. They're working. I'm sorry, I don't think I'm going to make it. There's so much clinging to the vocal cords, you see, that it just won't free up. Be better. It's very frequently, if we can just strip it. It's a protection. In fact, you ones with your tonsils, try to hang on to them. They're great protection. They allow focus for infection. And don't overdo cough syrups and things like that. What you are being hit with now is a mutation. And every one of you that pick up the respiratory infection are getting pneumonia. And if you can't cough that up, it's going to have to sit and be reabsorbed. Well, I suppose it may help. Use whatever makes you feel better, but just remember that this needs to be brought up and out. Maybe you could take the program a little bit. Maybe Ron would like to say something. Maybe somebody would like to say something.
About give me a clue to what I'm supposed to start with.
Well, tell them what you do.
Right now I'm learning to relearn what I thought I learned.
He's a preacher.
I guess I'm here trying to find out what I'm supposed to be doing, and you give me a clue. What am I doing?
Tell them what you've done.
Yeah. Well,
tell them about your instruments and your technology. It's
okay. I'm what you call a product design engineer in the electronics industry. I've worked for Hewlett Packard and Ampex primarily. A simple way to say what I do, if I were, the project was to invent this paper recorder up here, some electrical engineer would design the circuit of what it's supposed to do, and I'd be the guy that designs the heads, the magnetic structures, the things that make the electrical things work. And that's called a product designer. I'm being real general here. I hope you appreciate that. So I'm not an electrical engineer. I work with electrical type engineers and we just put our heads together and come up with a solution to whatever we're trying to invent. Let's see.
Share with him your father.
My father was the wheat king of the world. Now, this is before I was born. My fathers went up and homesteaded northern Canada in the original, what they called the Bull Run. They didn't use horses. They went up there with bulls. Okay. No, these were... I'm lost here. I'm kind of a little rattled. Anyway, they were oxen. They were preferred over horses because they get milk and they were very strong. They settled in the north. They had to traverse up there through the winter. You couldn't go in the summertime, so they were sleigh type wagons. Where here you call them wagon trains, they were sleigh trains. And they had to pass over the rivers and the structures while it was frozen. And they went up to the promised land. And this happened to be the Peace River District. It's in northern Canada. I lived approximately 70 miles from the Yukon. It was apparently a very lush, flat area. The grass would grow naturally 5-6 feet tall. When the wagon trainers went in there, when they saw this area, they just agreed to take so many. There happened to be a government man there with them that was responsible for zoning the areas, and they took on square miles or sections and assigned them. They did this. They transferred up there in the snow, and when they get there, the things that started to grow already, and I can really get carried away here, can't I?
Exactly.
Well, anyway, they knocked down their trees and built their log houses. My grandfather established what they call the Bull Run. It was a train of oxen that hauled goods and services up from the United States. He brought in the first steam engine and set up the first sawmills. My father at this time was about 10, 12 years old in this time frame. 1907 when this happened. Canada is about 60 years behind the 1849 gold rush days. Okay, so then my father's a pretty smart guy. He apparently, didn't get to know him very well. He graduated from what you would call high school when he was about 13 years old, 14 years old. He wanted to become an electrical engineer, and Grandpa is an old German from Germany. He says, "No, you're going to be a farmer." And my dad says, "No, I don't want to be an electrical engineer." And he says, "Well, you got to be here when we do the harvest and when we do the planting." So my father bartered with him and said, "Well, if you let me go to the university in Edmonton, I'll be here during those times." So they made an arrangement. So my father would walk 400 miles on the trapping trails to Edmonton, and he went through his training session. Come out to be an electrical engineer. He was offered a Rhodes Scholarship, which is another story to get onto. I'm sure a Tom would really appreciate.
I love those Rhodes Scholars.
Yeah, I learned a lot from you, Tom, so I know how to put these things in perspective a little better now. Anyway, Grandpa decided to go to California, and so he left and And my father ended up getting one of his sections and decided to, well, they were all farmers. He decided to specialize in improving his wheat. So through the process of selection, not hybridizing, going through the grains with a magnifying glass, picking out kernels that he thought was preferred, and planting small fields, and doing that again the following year, and after apparently about 3 or 4 years, he had a choice wheat. And by this time, we're talking around 1920 or so, 22, somewhere in that time frame, he started entering into world championships for wheat and ended up winning. So as a result of this, it brought a lot of fame to northern Canada and brought in a lot of new wagon trains, new people, just like the Gold Rush attracts people, and that attracted a lot of people up there because of the rich soil. I think that's what Tom wanted me to let you know about. Is he also won world championships in wheat and flax and oats. My mother, under his guidance, won world championships for growing peas. And I was told that he has somewhere around 600 championships. So in one of his glorious holidays, traveling around the world and winning these championships, I think I became the accident. So I don't really know if that's true or not, but the time frame is right. And so I didn't really get to know my father because I was a little boy and he was drafted in the army in 1939. Canada was in the war in 39, and I was only 6-7 years old, so I never saw my father until 1945. And then he got killed a while later after that, about a year or so after that. So I actually can only remember my father for about a year when I was 11 years old. So I'm proud of that, but that's all I can say. Yeah, I got to work on that because I don't have any boxes. So that's a clue. I don't have this thing that right offhand here what he's talking about.
But you know how to make it.
Yeah, if I knew what it was, I can make it.
Well, we always keep it a secret.
I think that's true. Well, once I do learn about it, you won't know about it.
As long as we understand each other, this room full of people doesn't matter.
Well, it matters to me.
It's a calling. It's a response to ones who offer to serve. And it isn't a matter of necessarily just your wishing to serve. I honor your father. I honor your father greatly. I wish that we had him here in the middle of this, because he was able literally to talk to the plants and nurture them. You ones are going to have to grow through the substance that you intake. You're going to need to find ways to soak your seeds, dry your seeds, and then plant them so that we can introduce Gyandriana within the seed itself. We only need to do it once, to program it. The first programming has to be introduced. And we're going to have to go for higher and higher frequency sustenance. They're going to come at you more and more and more with more mutations, so that frequency of a medication, a food substance, whatever is intaken into the body is going to have to basically be on a continual rise. Because as they really try to bring you down into sickness, they have got to counter with very low frequencies. Those are your physical programming frequencies, very low. And as they can come on up with their programming, they're going to take more and more of you out. And as these tremendous microwave towers, you see, I'm not talking about your kitchen microwave. Stop being silly about things like that. We're talking about heavy-duty microwave towers that are being set up for the very grid. You see, this has been going on and on and on and on. Every day now, you're going to get more and more and more outrageous discoveries. What about the irradiation that's now coming into your public knowledge as having been deliberately foisted off upon hapless people and children, soldiers, mothers? Well, you're going to find, EJ's going to find, right out of Green River, Utah, right from the Green River missile base, all sorts of things were launched. They knew they were launching them, broke all the windows, you know. Everything under the trajectory path, shake, rattle, and roll. The only thing is, these turkeys couldn't hit a barn with a BB gun. They would aim those missiles at White Sands, for instance. They might hit anywhere, Durango, Colorado. These things are now going to be coming into your attention because we are uncovering them. And the more we talk, the more people go look, and the more they're finding. They were shooting nuclear waste, incredible waste products, into space from Vandenberg. And they just lose these missiles. They just lose a Mars Observer. What are we going to do? Wait 6 months until we get some Hubble pictures? Well, you can't quit, can you? You have to keep going. Are these ultimately going to mean much to you, 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 and you? I hope not. Because your mission is not necessarily to come here and turn around America and go off, you know, with your flag. That may be part of it. Information, the word. It must begin with the word of truth. We have moved back into spelt. Can you imagine what your father could have done with spelt? Simply because it has its own mechanism built in for its own protection. And you're going to need that protection as more and more radiation comes into your atmosphere, as these higher frequencies of ultraviolet come into your recognition and you're going to have to begin to bombard your own earth plants so that they can also meet this. The hull of the spelt is very, very protective. But you will not get the prolific crops unless we do something to strengthen the plant itself. Because you're going to need quantity. And because it was good in old Macedonia and old Sumer, arid countries could grow it. It was not abundant, but it could do without very much water. It will, if you can bring up its frequency, it can cleanse itself of most pollutants taken in through the root system. Its very hull, its husk, will protect from radiation its seed kernel. It will make an extremely good sheltering insulation system for your walls, for your roofs. You're going to have to turn attention to these things. When I know that everybody would rather be just making a lot of money and motion pictures or something. You're going to need to become self-sustaining. And you're going to have to do it in a very, very political arena. Therefore, most of it's going to have to be done without anyone knowing you're doing it. So almost everything that is done in the line of alternative energy, I'm going to have to heal her in a minute because it's really irritating me. Everything that we do is going to have to be done under the guise of something else that is non-threatening. That means that most of the things that we do will have to be done as, you know, on free energy devices, for instance. You're going to have to understand the mechanism. You can create free energy absolutely right out of the acidic solution that you're using called tea and the life form in there producing life, the Gyandriana. And it will hit somebody. Probably will never be Dharma. You know, whatever we're doing, she's just doing blindly because she hears me. But for the ones who will be making these productions, you have to understand that while you're making these big productions, someone else is going to be trying to shut you down. And therefore, we have to be doing something very productive so that no one is paying any attention to what else we're doing in our own research and development. It's going to be hard for you ones to understand when I say that we are not out to save anything except ourselves. It is not your right to save something. You can't save another being. And when you understand that, it will make it a lot easier for you. You will become a lot less stressed out because Mary Jo does not listen to you. Quit trying to sell Mary Jo on something. Most of the time, you're trying to prove to yourself that you believe when you don't really. And if you sell that other one hard enough, And the reason that I know that, and you can test it for yourself, is that somehow you feel like such a failure if you cannot get that other one to listen to you. What makes you so smug? Because if you recognize the truth of it, there would be no question about it. You would not be trying to cram it down anyone's throat. Well, I just want a bigger group so that we can have more helpers. Don't do us any favors. Do you understand? It's a big problem. It will all be exactly as it will be, and it will be in perfection. I want you to listen to your own biblical words. At the return of God, he would have a different name. Well, he's already got 563,000 of them. What difference does one more make? Except to quarrel over. Well, if we just knew what it was going to be, then we would know when we hear it. Doesn't matter what it is. You will know when you hear it. And you will also understand what God means by reason and perfection of your own being. You see, you have a situation where if you are incarcerated, there is something holding you in there. And just thinking is not usually enough to get you out. Maybe David Copperfield could get out, but Gunther Rosbacher couldn't. Not until Big Daddy said, "I need you," or, "All right, let's all push. Let's get him out." There are ways to accomplish things. Ways which are acceptable, doable, and you will do it. It would not have been the same thing with even Gunther Rosbacher. He would not even be attending you. He would not ever have heard of you had he been able just to get himself out as easily as he got himself in. And you are dealing with very human beings, even more human than most of you, playing in arenas of pure hellfire and brimstone. And if you're going to play in those games, then when you come into realization of God, man, it's going to hit you right between the eyes. And you're going to back up and salute. And it doesn't matter what this invisible entity is. You're going to find that it doesn't matter whether it's Jacob's daddy or not. Because you're not going to fall down on your face and worship it, as Colonel Greitz would like to suggest. God does not ask for worship. That is foolish. He does not ask for sacrifice, most especially of somebody else. You know, the old "I lead, you sacrifice." God is abundance. He expects you to assume this responsibility for receiving of this abundance. Perfecting of self through the journey. That means a holy intent. But balancing it out with the utilization of that which you can earn with which to serve. So I can't have any of you backing off in the corner. I won't have anything. That means you are not willing to accept responsibility to do anything.